To understand what DOD's new cyber strategy is, it's useful to understand what officials say it is not. It is not a manual for how the United States will conduct future cyber wars. In fact, at least in the unclassified version, the use of offensive cyber capabilities is barely mentioned, save for the fact that the U.S. reserves the right to respond to cyber attacks.
With a proportional and justified military response at the time and place of its choosing.
Deputy Defense Secretary Bill Lynn. But Lynn says DOD also believes attacks that cause physical damage or disruption are at the far end of the continuum and not the most widespread threat, at least for now. The most prevalent threat, he says, is the theft of information and intellectual property. He says foreign governments and other groups have made off with terabytes of sensitive government data. He disclosed the latest example in his speech yesterday.
You know, just the latest in a series. We've been getting hit for, you know, a better half of 5 or 6 years in a serious way. This was significant, and it was a defense contractor. It was data related to systems that are being developed for the Department of Defense. It was large, 24,000 files. It was done, we think, by a foreign intelligence service. In other words, a nation state was behind it.
But Lynn declined to name the country the Pentagon believes to be the perpetrator. The new cyber strategy is defense-focused, designed to build a framework to help DOD prevent such attacks in the future, deny attackers any benefit from breaking into DOD systems, and defend all other aspects of its own IT infrastructure.
Because those networks undergird all of our capabilities, offensive and defense, the ability to strike, the ability to navigate, the ability to communicate. All of our military capabilities are based on our utilization of information technology networks. So the thrust of this is, how do we protect those advantages?
To get to the goal of networks that DOD can reliably defend, the new Pentagon strategy calls for a series of new operating concepts. They include the institutionalization of good cybersecurity hygiene and stronger monitoring for insider threats. But General James Cartwright, the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says DOD will also need to develop new computing architectures and build networks that are capable of continuous active defenses.
Today we have a network that is essentially constructed around point defenses. In other words, you go buy a firewall and some sort of virus protection. You put it on your computer. That's a point defense. It tends to be the most inefficient defense there is, because you're static and any attack on you, you're just always there. You just keep repeating it as often as you want, and there's really no penalty for doing it. As you start to build the system out to layers, it becomes more difficult to attack. And as you start to build that out globally and add in sensors so you know what the attacks are, or you see them coming if you know what type of an attack is, you recognize it, that gets you to be more efficient.
Besides being more efficient, Cartwright says DOD sees its future cybersecurity posture as a deterrent for potential attackers, and not necessarily only because they fear retaliation from the U.S. He says they want to get to the point where DOD's active layered defenses are so effective that many of today's attackers decide that trying to penetrate DOD isn't worth their time.
So then the adversary has to think their way through how to do that. The likelihood of being detected early, therefore preventing it in a larger area than just a single computer, goes up. Those types of activities tend to affect those who would attack us. In other words, if they think they're going to be thwarted, if they think they're not going to be able to get the effect they desired to have, it changes their calculus. To the extent that you add other measures, whether they be offensive in nature associated with cyber, or whether they be law enforcement, or whether they be just demarches and diplomatic activities, if we can start to introduce those into, they also tend to raise the price. But they're only effective if they're credible, so we have to have a system that recognizes an attack, registers it, and then allows us to react in a way that's appropriate, proportional, etc.
The strategy also calls for stronger information-sharing relationships with other nations to establish standard rules of the road and expected behavior for operating in cyberspace, though Lynn says that won't necessarily require new treaties. It also calls for research and development dollars to be channeled into defensive cybersecurity technology and into training and recruiting DOD's cyber workforce. Lynn says the Pentagon's also continuing to explore ways to share classified information on cyber threats with the Defense Industrial Base to ward off attacks like the one that happened in March. The department is in the middle of a 90-day pilot program right now in which it's giving defense contractors access to information that can help them detect threats. Lynn says the pilot only involves about a dozen companies, but officials believe it's already stopped potentially large attacks.
We'll be finished at the end of the summer. We're going to assess where we are. And then once, with that assessment, we'll be looking at both, can you expand it vertically, that is, add more of the defense industrial base sector, and can you expand it horizontally That is, can we expand it to other critical infrastructure sectors, and is it appropriate to do so? So we're going to be looking in the fall at exactly that, those decisions.
Within the department itself, Cartwright says members of the military shouldn't expect to see a bevy of new doctrine, policy, and regulations brought on by the new strategy. Rather, he says, the focus will be on adapting existing rules to the idea that cyberspace is an operational domain.
I mean, if an airman has to have a set of rules for everything except cyber, and then a separate set of rules for cyber, it's really difficult. So we're starting from the concept, use the laws that we have, understand the implications and where it applies and where it doesn't, and then to the extent that we need something more, make it a deviation, but don't try to invent an entire set of rules, laws, policies that only apply to cyber, because it's really difficult then for us to teach and to make and apply it in conflict.
And Cartwright says the same sort of thinking should apply when deciding whether a cyber attack on the U.S. is an incident that requires a military response. He says that's not something DOD tried to define in the strategy. Cartwright says the fact that an attack happens in cyberspace isn't what matters. It's what kind of damage it causes.
It's the output side of the equation, not the vehicle, that determines whether it's an act of aggression. You use Stuxnet as an example. So the question then becomes, are those centrifuges critical to our national activities? If in the judgment of the national leadership that's true, then it becomes an act. The act of war is a judgment. It's subjective. It's in the eyes of the beholder.
In Washington, Jared Serby, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.